Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Grace Marquet, and today is our Friday Healing Day of Prayer. Now, I'll be hosting our program today. My sidekick, John, had a previous commitment, and I am blessed to spend this time with all of you, our faithful, wonderful listeners. So as we always do, I invite you to call in with your prayer intentions, and I'll be giving you our phone number shortly. And with your prayer support and the grace of God, we will pray together for those special needs in your heart. So I am really looking forward to this beautiful healing day of prayer with you, all of you wonderful people. Now, on our last program, we shared with you part one on the life and mission of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, that beautiful Polish nun from the Congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy, who was given the awesome mission from Jesus himself, from Jesus, who appeared to her many times, starting in 1931. Her mission was to tell the whole world, of the love and the depth of the Lord's unfathomable divine mercy for you and for me. We had such a beautiful response to that program, and it pointed to the fact that there are so many of you out there who so love this beautiful sister, and how Jesus chose her to change your life and give you his merciful heart, a gift from Jesus to you that will lead you right into the kingdom. Now, many of you have already said yes to this tremendous gift that Jesus is offering us. And if you haven't, stay tuned. So today we're going to continue the story of St. Faustina and the unbelievable gift that the Lord is offering you. We will begin with prayer, and then I'll give you our telephone numbers, so have a pen ready, and we'll pray for your intentions. That is the purpose of our Friday day of prayer, to pray for your intentions. So we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Faustina, what are you saying to us with these words that you prayed from the chaplet of divine mercy? These words you expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. Saint Faustina, your words, your prayer is so powerful, spoken from the depths of your heart. How beautiful, Saint Faustina, that you are calling out to Jesus for us. You are praying for us. You are asking Jesus that the ocean of mercy that poured out for us upon his death gushed forth and opened up his mercy for the whole world. You are asking Jesus, who is the font of life, whose mercy is as vast as the ocean. You are asking him to envelop the whole world and empty himself out upon us, covering us with his mercy. I need not be afraid to come to you, Lord. No matter what I have done in my life, no matter how great are my sins, Jesus, you are saying you are eager to see me, to see us, to welcome us, to forgive us. You love us that much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Saint Faustina, for being the apostle of mercy that Jesus asked you to be. Your prayer has brought me back to him. Amen. And amen. Now, before we continue with the life of St. Faustina, we do have some prayer intentions. And as I said, that is what our Friday program is all about, praying for your intentions. And today it will be through the intercession of St. Faustina. Now, I'll give you our telephone numbers. They're 610-527-2906 and 888-343-2484. That's 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. Now, we have some intentions here that we're going to pray for before we move on. And gosh, we have a number of them here today. That's wonderful. And I'm looking right here. It says, for prayer requests for a priest who is suffering. He is suffering and he requests a 54-day novena for his intentions. He would appreciate any prayers and sacrifices. He is currently on a sabbatical. That is wonderful. Priest suffering, requesting a 54-day novena. And as Kathleen McCarthy would always say, she has the greatest prayer warriors on this station. And I know that you just heard that about this priest. I don't know who it is, but I know that all of you out there who are prayerful people will pray for this priest, requesting that 54-day powerful novena. But he would appreciate any prayers and sacrifices. And he is currently on a sabbatical here. Sabbatical. Okay. We have Jeannie, who is asking prayers for the conversion of her daughter-in-law. Her daughter-in-law has two children who are on the autism spectrum. And she is having trouble accepting the children. Also, her daughter-in-law has unforgiveness towards her father. She's asking for a generational healing. I believe this is Jeannie asking for a generational healing in the family. So we do pray for that family. That is just, I can understand. Here is a woman who has two children on the autism spectrum. She is having trouble accepting the children. Oh Lord God Almighty, through the power of your mother, your holy mother, who was with you all the time, Jesus, and supported you in everything, I ask Mary to intervene for this family. Intervene. Give her that heart of flesh, Lord. Take away that hard heart, Lord, that she can't accept the children. I can understand what she's going through. To a degree, I can understand. Not everything, Lord. But she probably has been through a lot with this. And also the fact she has unforgiveness towards her father. Maybe there's a little connection here. Lord, we ask that you get into that heart of hers. Allowed her to feel some of that forgiveness for her father. Maybe she go to see a priest, speak with a priest, speak with a doctor, deal with that. It almost seems like there may be a connection here in accepting the children. So we do pray for a generational healing in that family. We have Brother Alexander. He asked to have a special devotion and love for St. Teresa the Little Flower. That is a great that's a great prayer intention. St. Teresa the Little Flower, she is so full of love. She said she will spend her time in the kingdom doing good on earth. She sends those roses. People always say, I got a rose from, I prayed to the little flower and I got a rose. And I'm sure Brother Alexander would like for that to happen. So we're going to ask that special intention, Lord, and St. Teresa and St. Faustina. You know what love is all about. To intercede for Brother Alexander and let him feel that special love. You might want to put St. Faustina in there too, Brother Alexander. You'll have two wonderful saints to have a special devotion to. We pray for Nicole, who has had serious insomnia for 6 months. My. What is causing that? Is it physical? Is it emotional? Is there a problem in her life? Nicole, maybe you should see a priest. Talk to someone. It's important to speak. Get this out of you. Talk about it. Sometimes when you verbalize it, say it. Say it to someone who's loving and understanding. It can go a mile in your life. It can help you. So we pray for that insomnia. Pray, see a doctor, see a priest, see someone who can speak with you. We have prayers for Francesca, just diagnosed with breast cancer. That's all we hear today, Francesca. And many people do get healings from it, and that's what we're going to pray for you for that. Also for Joe here who has cancer. We pray for both of you that the Lord heal you. It's a frightening illness. I know I share with you that I went through it a few years back. I praise God I'm I've come a long way with it, and the Lord can heal. So we pray for that for the two of you. So we will get more intentions, and we'll continue to pray. Let's see. We have here praying for Rosie. Rosie has colon cancer. Again, we're dealing with that colon cancer. And Fred asked for this prayer for Rosie. She's now in New York, and right now, within this weekend or whatever, that she will be having surgery for her colon cancer. And Lord, we ask that you just get that all out of her. I understand she wasn't doing so well, so we pray for that. And we pray for Philip. Philip is having liver. I think at one point we prayed for him. He was asking for a liver transplant, has hip issues, and he wasn't doing well. In fact, my brother went with his friends Sunday to visit him down in Wildwood and to give him some support to cheer him up a little bit. So we pray for Philip, and we ask if it is that transplant that he does get one. So the numbers again, let's see. 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484, and we will have more intentions. So before we move on, I have to give you a little summary of our first program on St. Faustina. Give you a little background. We spoke of this humble sister of Our Lady of Mercy from Poland, who, let's see, she was the third of 10 children, and the family was very poor. Very poor. She had a third grade education, but she was given the mission to make known to the world the mercy of God. Jesus so wanted all of humanity to know the immensity of his mercy that he revealed himself to this young sister through divine revelations and visions. Sister Faustina was deeply spiritual. In one of his first revelations, Jesus showed her an image of himself that he desired to have venerated all over the world. He wanted this image of him painted. Now, this image that Jesus revealed to her showed two rays emanating from the merciful heart of Christ, which Jesus said represented the pouring forth of my precious blood and the water from my side on the day of my sacrifice on Calvary. He told her, "The white ray represents the water that purifies souls. The red is the blood that gives life to souls." He said the picture was to have the inscription, "Jesus, I trust in you." Trust was the key. The more we entrusted God with our lives, our dreams, our joys, our fears, our sadness, our all, the more we entrusted them to God, the more we would obtain his bountiful mercy. Now today, that image, that painting of the merciful Savior is venerated in countless homes, in schools, in churches on every continent. I have it on my front door. I have that image right on my front door. Nobody bothers me. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. The image alone has healed many people all over. Now, on our previous program, we also spoke of a powerful devotion that Jesus gave St. Faustina. Now, if you didn't hear it on that program, it's very important that you hear it today. Besides the image of the merciful Savior, he gave her a devotion called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This came about in 1935 when she was praying for mercy for a certain city. This city was going to be chastised, and she pleaded to God for mercy for that city. She prayed the words that God gave her in that precise moment. At that precise moment, the chastisement of that city was not carried through. And this prayer was the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And these were the words he gave her. "Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world." Now the Lord made it clear to Sister Faustina that this prayer was not just for her, but for the whole world. He said to her, "My daughter, encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given you. It pleases me to grant everything they ask of me. When hardened sinners say it, I will fill their souls with peace, and the hour of death will be a happy one." Jesus also promised that when this prayer is spoken at the bedside of the dying, Jesus will stand between his Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. Now, I shared with you on our last program that when I first heard of that promise of Jesus, I knew in my heart that if I was in the presence of a dying family member or a friend, I would pray that chaplet for them. And that promise is offered to each and every one of you. I had the privilege of praying it for my mother and father when they were passing. I prayed it for my dear sisters, Rita and Dolores, my dear sister-in-law, Mary Kate. In fact, her sixth anniversary of passing was just 2 days ago, March 28th. Prayed it for my niece, Donna. That promise, as I said, is offered to you, each and every one of you, to pray for your family and friends who are dying. What a gift. Think about that. You can actually be a deeply spiritual part in Jesus coming to your loved one as a merciful Savior when they are dying. Jesus promises us that. These are His words. And where do you get that chaplet of divine mercy? Go to your cell phone, go to your laptop, and put in the chaplet of divine mercy. It only takes about 10 minutes to pray. And I'll tell you, I've had many friends share with me that they also prayed it for their family members. And this chaplet was not just for Sister Faustina, as I said, but for the whole world. My friends, just take a look at what is happening in our world today. It is a world that has walked away from the world's Creator. So many things that we value, that we hold dear, are being taken from us. Have you noticed? I think you have. The freedoms that we cherish, that we took for granted, are being denied right before our eyes, right under our noses. The minds of our children are being filled with rules and teachings, books that are affecting them in a negative way, books that are immoral, books that are not good for their souls. Other people are trying to take over your children's lives, teaching them things that their parents would never teach them, things that are completely opposed to God's law. And we are not better for it. God wants us back. We belong to Him, not to the world. In these times, He is offering us a way back. It wasn't just for Sister Faustina's world in 1931. It is for now. And what does Jesus say in Scripture to those who are leading children in the wrong direction? He says to those adults, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their necks, and they be drowned in the depths of the sea." My Jesus said that? Yep, it's in Matthew. It shows how much He loves the little children. Beware of those adults who are leading them in the wrong direction, who are causing them to sin. Better a millstone hung around their necks, and they be drowned in the sea. Now, in our own lives, we have sinned. We can look back and see the many times we have turned away from God. And as time passes on, as we get older, we sometimes get overwhelmed. We want to see change in our lives. We wish we could have a clean slate, don't you? Don't you wish you could start anew? But is it too late? Is it too late to start anew? Well, I'm here to tell you today, I have good news for you. There is a way back. Listen now. Listen to what Jesus told Sister Faustina. Way back then, in the old covenant, He said, "I sent prophets wielding thunderbolts to my people." That's what He did. It was more like thunderbolts to my people. He said, "Today I am sending you, Sister Faustina, with my mercy to the people of the whole world. I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart." Now, how can this be? Jesus offers us another very special gift. He's the gift giver. What was that jewel from the heart of His divine mercy? Listen to this carefully. He told Sister Faustina that He wanted the Sunday after Easter to be declared the feast of divine mercy. Remember, it's coming. That Sunday after Easter is coming. And it was declared the feast of divine mercy. And if we would fulfill the conditions of that feast, now hear this, if we fulfill the conditions of that feast, divine mercy, April 16th, hear this, every sin every sin we ever committed, and all of the temporal punishment of those sins would be forgiven. Our souls would be restored as on the day of baptism. That is huge. No matter how great the sins of your entire life, Jesus said, the greater the sinner, the greater the right he has to my mercy. What are those conditions? How can I get that gift and start anew? Well, you are to go to sacramental confession within a period of 20 days during the time of the feast day. You are to receive Holy Communion on the feast. You are to, if you can, venerate the picture, if you have it, the image of the Divine Mercy that was painted. You are to pray for the Pope and promise to avoid sin in your life. These are the conditions. And for some of you, you say, well, I don't know if I can go there. I'm very sick. I can't be at the church. I can't do this. Well, Pope John Paul even gave you that time to, if you are sick in your home, you can do these conditions at home, and then over that period of 20 days, try to get them in as soon as you can. They are the conditions. And Father Seraphim Mykolenko, the postulator to the cause of St. Faustina's canonization, he said this, and he said it many times. Your soul would be restored as on the day of your baptism. Think of that. When you were a little baby, no sins. They're going to be gone. Original sin, all those sins, gone. And that would be repeated by the priests from the National Shrine of Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Jesus said, on that day, the Feast of Divine Mercy, the first Sunday after Easter Sunday, are open all the divine floodgates through which graces flow. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. Jesus picks St. Faustina as the apostle of mercy to do that. This was not an easy undertaking for Sister Faustina. And as I said, she only had schooling up to a third grade level. But the depth of her spirituality was immense. And I told you in our last program, she was the object of ridicule from her own sisters in her convent. They thought she lost her mind. What do you mean she's being visited by Jesus? They thought she lost her mind. No one believed her. She prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, send me a spiritual director who would guide me and believe me. And the Lord did that. And we're going to get to that. We have a few more prayer intentions. We're going to get to those, and then we'll continue with more and more goodies from Jesus and St. Faustina. We're going to get to those. We have a few more here. We have a number of them today. And that pleases me that we could pray for our brothers and sisters. That is wonderful. We pray for the Pope, Pope Francis, respiratory infection. Now, you know, many years ago, he had a lung removed. Imagine doing all the things he's been doing, not having a lung. That is amazing. Now, before I came here today, I heard on the news that they gave him all kinds of antibiotics, infusions, and so on. And they're thinking he may go home tomorrow. So that's a beautiful answer to prayer. And we pray, Lord, that your breath, the breath of God, breathe in Pope Francis. Breath of God, breathe in him. Breathe in him. We have Karen. She's praying for Chelsea. Chelsea has breast cancer, and she had a hysterectomy. She needs treatment, and she does have a long road ahead of her. We pray. Lord, we're people of miracles. We know sometimes we don't know how these are going to be answered, but we go for the top. We pray that she be healed. Yes, we do, Lord. We pray for that. And we have Judy. Let's see. Judy had a prayer before Carol in Connecticut. We prayed for Carol for years, serious back pain. And she said she was getting a surgery, and if it didn't work, she didn't know what she was going to do. Well, she had the surgery, and unfortunately, she didn't have a morphine drip in her. A morphine drip, but it's making her wobbly. She has brain fog, and she fell. She fell after her surgery. The morphine was too strong for her. So she's dealing with all this, and on top of that, she has a husband who has dementia. Imagine what that poor soul is going through. Carol, oh, Carol, we pray for you. Lord, help her. Heal that pain in her back so that she could be even more present to her husband. And we pray for him with that dementia. Yes, Lord, we pray for him. Let's see here. Let's see now. We think we're going to take break now? Nope, not yet. Oh, we have more time. Oh, go, great. We can get more prayer intentions in here. This is wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. We have here Martin. Martin passed. We prayed for Martin, who had kidney cancer, and he was a co-worker of Sharon, and he passed. Kelly Ann Kennedy is the sister of our wonderful engineer here today, Patrick Kennedy. We prayed for her. She had cancer, lung cancer, and Kelly passed. In fact, March 28th was her funeral. We pray for her. Her background was such a happening, wonderful woman. And we pray for her. We pray for you, Patrick, and your whole family. And we pray for my sister-in-law, Kate. On that same date, March 28th, we had the Mass for her. She passed of cancer 6 years ago. And we pray for Millie. Millie's the mother of a dear friend, Angel. And she's the aunt of my best friend, Janet. She's the aunt, and she just passed away at the age of 93, and she passed away on March 28th. So March 28th has a very significant time here. She was so beautiful. I miss the parties we would have for the little children and holidays we get together with all the great food. Millie, you're going to be blessed. Her daughter, Angel, I spoke with her last night, and Angel said, "We were sad, but I've never seen anything like it. Her whole family was there, and she said it was so peaceful, her death, that it was as if Jesus walked in, grabbed her by the hand, and walked out the door with her." She said that made it helped us, she said, because having a mom so long, an Angel was her provider. For 3 years, Angel was so attentive to her. We pray for Gigi, niece of Mary Gallagher. Gigi passed away. She had many physical and emotional issues. We pray for you, Gigi, and for Michael, who had pancreatic cancer. We pray for you. He passed away. So we pray for them right now. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of the faithful departed rest in peace. Amen. We're going to take a break right now. Two more. Okay, they keep wanting me to pray for you. That's fine with me. They're saying two more minutes. I'm looking at, okay, that's great. That's right. That's right. Two more minutes. Guess what? We have more here. Maybe you'll hear yourself. I pray for all of you out there. I'm sure you didn't, even though you didn't call in, you have your own intentions in your hearts, your minds, your souls, your bodies, your families. And you're part of this. As we pray for others, you just jump on board with these. These prayers are going out to all of you. All of you, and I'm delighted to be able to pray for you for all of these intentions. We have Marie is praying for Barbara. Barbara has 28 lesions in her brain. Now, the cancer is gone, but she still has to have chemo and radiation, and she's having terrible side effects. And she said the worst side effect that she is having is depression. And I can understand why. Depression, going through all of that. So sad that you have to exist with that. Morning, noon, and night, you must think constantly about what's happening. We pray for your depression. We pray for a healing. We pray for the peace comes into your heart, mind, and soul. Know that God is with you. Jesus is right by your side. Saint Faustina went through, oh, such incredible suffering. She went through a depressive state. We pray for Faustina right now to come into your life and to heal you. She prayed for so many of the sisters in her convent, and they were healed. So, Saint Faustina, we pray. We pray so deeply now for Barbara with those 28 lesions and her depression. We know, Lord, you can heal her. We know, and we know that Faustina's going to bat for her. Because when she didn't like something, Lord, she spoke up. She spoke up and said, "Lord, why is this going on? Why is that going on?" And I love her for that. She's praying for all of us today. God bless you, Barbara. God bless you. Well, now we're going to take a break. And we'll be back. We still have to get into this gift. We have to get into it.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful, for it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Looking at St. Faustina's journey, I repeat, it was not an easy one for her. She suffered great spiritual battles, moments of darkness when she felt totally abandoned by God. She said, "Darkness began to cast its shadow. Fear began to sweep over me. I felt no consolation in prayer. I felt neither my prayers or good works were pleasing to God. The night was growing darker and darker. My soul was in a state of torture. Frightful temptations against the holy faith assail me. Oh, my Jesus, save me." Sister Faustina was experiencing the dark night of the soul, the dark night of the spirit. It is a purging of everything dealing with self. Many of the great saints have experienced this. God is preparing the soul for complete union with Him, for betrothal with Him. As Sister Faustina fought to overcome these struggles, the Lord spoke to her. She said, "I saw the Lord interiorly, and He said to me, 'Fear not, my daughter, I am with you.' My daughter, during the weeks when you neither saw me nor felt my presence, I was more profoundly united to you than at times when you experienced ecstasy." Sister Faustina's response: "In that single moment, all the darkness and torments vanished. My senses were inundated with unspeakable joy. I snuggled to the heart of God like a baby to its mother's breast." Sister Faustina went from her darkest moment of nothingness to the pinnacle of joy when Christ removed the veil. I'd like to play for you a song which captures that moment when the soul feels so alone, so abandoned, and then is rescued by God. The song is called, I Had Nothing Left to Give. I Had Nothing Left to Give.
Left to give, for I felt that I had given all. Who would ever know I tried at all? Were I to give once more, I had no more tears to cry. For I felt that I had cried them all. Who would ever care to watch them fall? Were I to cry once more, then you came into my
In her dark night, Sister Faustina had nothing left to give. And as you just heard, I had nothing left to give. She was feeling this, for I felt that I had given all. Who would ever know I tried it all, were I to give once more? And I'm sure many of you listening right now have those feelings in your heart, your mind, your soul at times. I had no more tears to cry, for I felt that I had cried them all. Who would ever care to watch them fall, were I to cry once more? Then you came into my life, and you showed me how much you loved me, Lord. When I was weak, you were strong. You were everything I wasn't, and you needed me all along. And you showed me how to live. As your loving heart accepted me, I discovered so much more in me. I discovered what your eyes could see. I had nothing left to give, for I felt that I had given all. You're the reason I am living for. You'll be there for me each time I fall. I can give once more. The Lord rescues Saint Faustina in her darkness. He rescues her. He sent Father Michael Sopochko, that's my try at the Polish name, Sopochko. Before I think I was saying Sopako. So I found out the Polish is Sopochko. He sent her Father Michael Sopochko, who told her to write a diary of everything the Lord told her. And Jesus said the same thing, write a diary, put it down. And it turned out to be a 600-page diary called Divine Mercy in My Soul. With all of her hard work, she prophesied that her writings would be rejected and not found to be true. Well, sadly, that came to pass. She did not live to see her works approved. She died in 1938 of tuberculosis. She suffered greatly. And for 20 years, her writings lie dormant. They were rejected by the Holy See. Well, there was one young priest who read her diary and believed her. He knew this was truth. That priest was Karol Wojtyła. And I'll tell you a little present soon. Karol Wojtyła became a bishop, and he began the investigation that would lead to her cause for sainthood. This came about when that bishop, Karol Wojtyła, became Archbishop Cardinal Wojtyła. In reaching out for her cause and in the research he did that was involved, it was discovered that when her works were originally submitted to the Vatican, they were not translated correctly from the Polish. They weren't translated correctly, and for 20 years they had to lie dormant. Oh my, that is unbelievable. What would Mother Angelica say about that? She used to call people like that dodos at the time, you remember? She used to, St. Peter and all of them, she'd say, and I know at the Vatican, when she, if she would hear, and I'm sure she did, that Faustina's works weren't accepted, she would say, who was the dodo who translated it? That would be Mother Angelica, who, by the way, just a few days ago, 7 years in the kingdom. Well, no wonder they were rejected because of that lack of proper translation. Well, 6 months after that, you ready for this? Cardinal Wojtyła became Pope John Paul II. 6 months after that. Now, St. John Paul II, he's the saint now. How glorious. And his mission, in his own words, was God's mercy. And St. Faustina's writings perfectly correlated with his belief. His first, or actually it was his second encyclical, was on divine mercy. It was called Dives in Misericordia, Rich in Mercy. That was his encyclical. In fact, before he became a priest, he and his father moved to Krakow. His mom and his brother had died early, young. His father and the cardinal, he wasn't a priest, said he moved to Krakow. He moved there in 1938. That was the same year that St. Faustina died. But they never met. They never met. But spiritually, they were connected. He worked in a quarry, and that quarry was situated very close to the convent where Sister Faustina had lived. And Karol Wojtyła would go to that chapel in her convent and pray. And the little town there was Lagiwniki. Lagiwniki was the name of that little Polish town. In fact, you'll see Krakow-Lagiwniki. They were so spiritually connected on Divine Mercy that after he wrote his encyclical on Divine Mercy, Dives in Misericordia, one of the Sisters of Mercy said, if you read Sister Faustina's diary and you read John Paul's encyclical, Dives in Misericordia, it was as if they were written by the same person. Pope John Paul said, this message of God's mercy shaped his pontificate. He canonized Sister Faustina to Saint Faustina on April 30th, the year 2000. She was the first person he canonized in the new millennium, 2000. That same day that he canonized her, he also proclaimed the Feast of Divine Mercy. That feast I'm talking about that's coming soon. He also proclaimed that feast that Jesus had asked for 70 years earlier. Jesus wanted that feast 70 years earlier to be on the first Sunday after Easter. Now, after the canonization ceremony for St. Faustina, there was a big banquet. And John Paul II got up, and he shared with everyone there. And he said this, "Today is the happiest day of my life." And Father Michael Gately said that he felt the reason the Pope said that was that John Paul, at that very moment, besides being happy for Sister Faustina being saint, he was fulfilling the God-given task that he had been given. "I accomplished my mission of mercy." Father Michael Gately said that 5 years later, when Pope Benedict XVI canonized St. John Paul II in 2005, Pope Benedict XVI said that John Paul died in the arms of mercy. He is the Mercy Pope. And when did Pope John Paul die? He died on April 2nd, 2005, the eve of the Feast of Divine Mercy in 2005. He died on the eve of the very feast that he had proclaimed 5 years earlier. God's hands were all over this. And I might add a beautiful personal note here. My dear sister Rita and her husband Bill were there in St. Peter's Square when Pope John Paul II was lying in repose, lying in state. And she sent us all a beautiful postcard in the mail with a regal photograph of John Paul. He was in gold and white vestments. Beautiful. So beautiful. And the cards were posted April 5th, 2005, the day he was lying in state in St. Peter's Square. And I am right now holding that card, so beautiful, with the Vatican in the background. What a glorious gift to receive. What a glorious gift to receive. That is so beautiful. She's one to go to, there's no doubt about it. For mercy, the Lord's mercy coming upon you, no matter how many sins you've committed. The Feast of Divine Mercy is coming up, the Sunday after Easter. Do those conditions. Go to sacramental confession, have communion, say prayers for the Pope, promise you probably not to sin again, and there you go. You go back to your baptism. You will be free of all sin. If you died at that moment when you made those conditions, you'd go right up to the kingdom. You would go right up. You know, Mother Angelica has a beautiful reflection on mercy. When I saw this, I loved it. Mother Angelica, we all love Mother. She said, "I love to go to the ocean. I remember being in California, and as I stood near the ocean, a drop of water hit my hand, and I looked at it. Then I looked at the ocean, and it was so big. And I looked again at this drop on my hand. And the Lord said to me, 'Angelica, that drop is for all your sins, all your imperfections, and all your frailties. Throw it into the ocean.' I didn't want to keep that drop. It seemed like I shouldn't. So I threw it back. And then the Lord said to me, 'Angelica, the ocean is my mercy. The drop was all your sins. Now, if you looked for the drop, would you ever find it?' And I said, 'No, Lord.' And he said, 'If you looked and looked, would you not do yourself a disservice in me?' And I said, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he said to me, 'Why do you lament?'" How beautiful is that? Jesus asks Mother Angelica, "Why do you lament?" And Jesus asks us. He asks me, he asks you, "Why do you lament? Why do you beat on yourself? Do you not know that I am he who loves you? I am he who was here to free you of all your sins and imperfections. My mercy toward you is as vast as the ocean. Come to me. Toss that drop of your sins in the ocean of my divine mercy and be set free. Be set free. And if those of you have never heard the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, every day at 3 p.m. on EWTN, that's Mother Angelica Station, with $200 she started that. It is now all over the world in every continent. At the hour of divine mercy, which Jesus said, the 3 o'clock hour is the hour that he died, and there is an immeasurable amount of mercy that he will dispense to you when you pray the chaplet in that hour, the 3 o'clock hour. And you can listen to it or even sing it at 3 p.m. every day on EWTN. That's so beautiful. And as I said, 7 years ago, a few days ago, March 27th, Mother passed. And this year is her 100th birthday. 100th birthday. So you know EWTN is going to do a lot of things for her, really. Now, in her own words, Sister Faustina said, "One thing alone sustains me, and that is Holy Communion. From it I draw all my strength. Jesus, concealed in the host, is everything to me. O living host, my one and only strength, fountain of love and mercy, embrace the whole world, fortify faint souls." Now, we spoke of the rays coming forth from the image of Christ, the painting, the divine mercy. Well, Father Seraphim Mykolenko said this, and he said that several times, Sister Faustina in her diary writes of seeing the red and pale rays coming not from the image, but from the sacred host. And as the priest exposed the Blessed Sacrament, she saw the rays from the image pierce the host and spread out from the host all over the world. The Eucharist is central to devotion to the Divine Mercy, and many of the elements of the devotion are essentially Eucharistic. The image with its red and pale rays presents the Eucharistic Lord Jesus, whose heart has been pierced and now pours forth blood and water as a fountain of mercy for us. It is the image of God's sacrificial gift of mercy made present. Made present where? Where is this gift made present? At every Mass. At every Mass. How beautiful is that? What an insight that we get into the Eucharist and the rays from the death of Christ pouring forth to us and in us, changing us, letting us see how powerful his mercy is for you. I can't say it enough times. How many times have I said it today? For you, he wants you, no matter how many sins you've committed. He wants you to go to him. He's waiting for you. And don't forget the Sunday after Easter Sunday. Don't forget Easter Sunday, his resurrection. That's our faith. If Christ never rose from the dead, we'd have no faith, no Catholic faith. Okay, he had to rise from the death. The resurrection had to happen. And then the following week, Jesus said, "I want that feast. I want it proclaimed." And it was John Paul, that wonderful Pope, 70 years later proclaimed the feast that you could get complete remission of all your sins and the punishment due to sin. That is such a gift to us. Such a gift. You know, St. Faustina, we've spoken in past programs that she saw Jesus and Mary many times. And I thought this was very, very interesting. During a vision, St. Faustina spoke with the souls in purgatory. Okay? And we may have relatives there in purgatory, friends. And she wrote about her experience saying, she said, "I asked these souls in purgatory what their greatest suffering was. And they answered me in one voice that their greatest torment was longing for God. In the vision, Saint Faustina also saw something beautiful. Our Lady was tending to the souls in purgatory. In her diary, she wrote, "I saw Our Lady visiting the souls in purgatory. The souls call her the Star of the Sea. She brings them refreshment." This is unbelievable. I had never heard this before. And you know, these visions are approved by the Church. I mean, everything in her diary, the 600 pages have been approved by the Pope, all these appearances and visions. And here, Faustina's saying she sees her in purgatory. And it brings refreshment. They call her the Star of the Sea. We see the abundance of God's mercy, that He would send His mother there. That those souls, even though they haven't yet reached heaven, and we pray, that's why we pray for them that they will, that even that they haven't reached heaven, Jesus lets His mother bring refreshment to the holy souls. That should give us all peace, knowing if someone is down there that we don't know or do know, that at least Mary goes down to see them. That is unbelievable. That is so, so special. So, so special. Saint Faustina died on October 5th, 1938. Her remains rest at the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Krakow, Poland, under the image of the Divine Mercy. Many graces and miracles have been attributed to her intercession, but the most important thing she would want us to know can be found in her own words. "My mission will not come to an end upon my death. I will draw aside for you the veils of heaven to convince you of God's goodness. Adore, my soul, the mercy of the Lord. Oh, my heart, rejoice wholly in Him, because for this you have been chosen by Him to spread the glory of His mercy. His goodness no one has fathomed. No one can measure. His compassion is untold. Every soul that approaches Him experiences this. He will shield her and clasp her to His merciful bosom. Happy the soul that has trusted in your goodness and has abandoned itself completely to your mercy. That soul is filled with the peace of love. You defend that soul everywhere as your own child. Oh, soul, whoever you may be in this world, even if your sins were as dark as night, do not fear God. Weak child that you are, for great is the power of God's mercy." And that is part two of our presentation on Saint Faustina. And I thank everyone here who helped today. Patrick, thank you. God bless you. You're wonderful. I thank Kathleen McCarthy with the courage to take the hours for this program to continue. And it's been so successful. She has such great faith, such great trust in God to do this. It's not easy, but she pushes forth and does it. So beautiful. I thank you, Maureen, who keeps this place going and running. I thank all of them, Frank and Mary and all of you who are part of this wonderful, wonderful ministry. May God bless you and give you many, many graces. And don't forget, you know what I'm going to say, the Sunday after Easter. Don't forget.